All right. Good morning again. Let's pray before we get into the scriptures and think over some things this morning. God, may it always be the deepest desire of our heart that Your kingdom would come on earth and that Your will would be done as it is in heaven. I believe today that we are gathered together here because that's what we want. We want to know You. We want to understand more about Your plan and how we fit into it. But we are just desperately inadequate to do any of that on our own. So as we spend some time talking together and thinking through some things and looking into Your Word, we ask that Your Holy Spirit would turn lights on for us, that You would convict us, that You would pull us into Your plan, that You would inspire us and move me out of Your way so that we can experience Your truth today, and that it'll shape us and change us. And as we've asked time and time and time again, please light the way for us to take the next step, whatever that might be. Amen. All right. Good to see you all this morning. So, I want to start with a little story. Oh, I want to start also by mentioning that we do have Ann Chambers with us today, Teacher of the Year at Mary Middle School. That's awesome. Yeah, that is fantastic. Awesome. And so, when you teach, you have a lot of stories. You have a lot of stories, Ann? Yeah, you get a lot of stories. So, there's stories every week. This week, I was working with my first period class, who is just a fantastic group of young scholars, and they are dedicated to excellence in research in ancient world history, and they're just open to grasping all that and working really hard. They have a great work ethic. And we were reviewing, preparing for their end of course state test, and we were talking about the Roman Empire, and one of the things that they have to understand is that Christianity is one of the greatest legacies of the Roman Empire, and it's changed the world, and they have to know how Christianity started with this guy being executed and then became the religion of the most powerful empire in the world. And we were talking about Christianity in the Roman Empire. And one of my students, this young lady who, she's been in my class all year, but she just recently moved here, she said this: Christianity, that's the religion that believes women can't wear pants, right? Okay. How many of you have heard some version of this story of Christianity? I think we have. This young lady, in particular, she's been in and out of foster care for many, many years, and now she's being raised by her aunt, and her aunt's really, you know, concerned and is involved in trying to help her do well. But Christianity, that's the religion that believes women can't wear pants, and you guys are familiar with this, and I would have to say that over the last 15 years, talking to people about church and people's objections to church and why they don't want to be a part of church, 9 times out of 10 is something like this. Like, yeah, I went to that church that one time and that preacher told me that I wasn't dressed right. And that's what a couple girls in my first period class shared, stories of going to a church and they were told that they were not dressed right. Now, that may have been true, but the idea is that Christianity, that's the religion that believes women can't wear pants right. And I would say that there are probably a lot of you who are here today because of maybe some difficulties you have with this idea of church. So I want to think about what is church, what's it supposed to be, and we'll start with scriptures. Ephesians 3, the Apostle Paul says, I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the Creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. So He says, I'm going to explain this plan that God had in mind from the very beginning. This creation's headed somewhere. There's a purpose. There's something going on. And the Creator of the universe chose me to explain this plan. God's purpose in all of this and everything that has happened was to use the church to display His wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. I'm not really sure what He has in mind there with the unseen rulers and authorities in heavenly places, but I'm thinking like spiritual powers that God is using the church to display what kind of God He is. This was His eternal plan, which He carried out through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's purpose was to use the church to display His wisdom and its rich variety in all to all the unseen rulers and authorities in heavenly places. So I want you to think about this. Think about God's plan for church to display His wisdom, to show the world who He is, and what we sometimes do with that. Because there are people who might encounter any community of Christians and have all kinds of ideas about what God's plan since the beginning of eternity is besides this, besides what it is, to bring order to this world, to show the world what He is like, to reveal Himself to this world. So let's move on and look at another scripture. So for us, I'm going to tell another story, and this is a story which most of you are familiar with and you've heard, but maybe some of you haven't. There were a group of us, probably, golly, I guess it's been 15 years ago now, that began to get pretty serious about what it meant to be followers of Jesus. And it started with a restored relationship with our God and with forgiveness for our sins. And we experienced the love and the grace of Christ, and we wanted to know what it meant to live that out. How do we respond to God's love for us? And so we began to search. We began to search the Scriptures. We began to have discussions together. We began to pray together. And of course, the simplicity of God's plan was something that we began to see over and over again. Jesus said that the most important thing that we can do with this life that He has given us, with this salvation that we have, is to love our God and then to love our neighbors. And we got kind of frustrated and it seemed like weighed down with trying to put this into practice in our lives when there were lots of other things that we had to juggle too. Lots of other things that were a part of church that didn't seem to have much to do with loving God or loving our neighbors. And my goal today is to talk about unity, but the story that began this community here was a group of us breaking away and cutting some of those weights off and starting something different. Right? And so it felt like for me, serving together with folks and being church was more, it was involved in lots of conversations and theological discussion about stuff that didn't have anything to do with how much I love God or how much I love my neighbor or trying to help other people to love God and love their neighbor. And so this got started. And I'm sure there are lots of you who are here today who feel like you are in this community because you want to truly love God. Your people who are in any church want that. They want to love God and love their neighbor. But you can easily get distracted from that by lots of other stuff. Being the body of Christ, being God's way of revealing His wisdom from the beginning of the age can quickly become about something else. Something that it wasn't meant to be. So we started to have this freedom that now we can just really love God and love our neighbors and we can serve the world. We want that's the three things that we want to be about. And as we search together, we begin to see that when we love God and when we love our neighbors, serving those who are materially poor is a critically important part of this gospel. And we explored passages like Matthew 25 and begin to really take that seriously. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm sure if you've been here very often, you know the story. Jesus talks about what it's like at the end of the age. And He talks about people who were supposed to be those who loved Him. People who were supposed to be His people. And when they met their Creator, He told people who had loved those... Well, let's just read it. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me." So the idea here is that if we truly love God and we want to do something for God, we have to do something for the poor. These people say, "When do we do this, God?" And He said, "I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." So loving God is inseparably tied to how we treat other people, particularly other people who are considered the least. Right? And so for us, from the very beginning of this community, it's been really important to make sure that we're connected, to make sure that we are placing ourselves in positions where we can truly love the people who Jesus says are Him, right? The poor, the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the imprisoned, the people who are in these places of bondage. We want to love and serve them because that's how we love God. And when we began to be set free from some of these other weights and other things that were weighing us down, we were able to just explore that and to do that. And I can't describe how wonderful that felt. And during this time when we were starting this community, one of the passages that just kept ringing through my heart was Jesus' description of the kingdom of God in Matthew 13. He actually has several descriptions of what the kingdom of God is like in Matthew 13. But He said it's like treasure that's hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. The idea here is that living out the kingdom of God and being involved in serving people who are the least of these is not something that we do because we have to, because it's a begrudging repayment of some kind of debt that God has hanging over our heads. The kingdom of God and being involved in what God is doing in this world is the thing that brings us more joy than anything else. And when we glimpse that, when we see what that life looks like, of course, we'll give up everything for that. It's like merchants looking for fine pearls, and when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and he bought it. So it's the joy, it's the life that we find in that we get to pursue. So, as we began doing that, as we began to try to be church, as we began to try to love God and love our neighbor and serve the world, we started to think about how can we get involved? How can we get connected with people so that we can grow and we can learn and there can be this mutual benefit, this relationship between the two groups of folks? And we prayed about this. We took a lot of time and did some intense research and prayer. And God led us to our friends in Guatemala at From Houses to Homes first. And you guys know the story. I'm not going to talk much about this. But we were able to be connected with a group of people who were serving and loving some of the least of these right here in our own hemisphere. Joe Collins was the founder of From Houses to Homes, and he traveled to Guatemala to visit his son while he was doing some graduate research there, and his heart was broken because of the conditions that people were living in, because people couldn't send their kids to school, because people couldn't provide health care for their loved ones, because people were sick all the time and people were dying young and folks didn't have an education. And so From Houses to Homes got started because of his compassion, and we've been able to partner with him for the last like 9 years or so. And that's been great because of your generosity, because you are dedicated to serving the world. I'm sure we could count them, but there's a lot of families whose lives have been changed. Right? And then God expanded those connections and we became really close with the Oasis of Peace Church in Antigua and Jose and his family. These people are our family. And God has continued to just build relationships between us and folks that we have met there. And then they have a church that's meeting this morning and they'll be praying for us. I can guarantee you that. And then there's other folks who are serving in the community as well. These are the Wells, and some of you have met them. They have a ministry to children in Guatemala, and they live in one of the little pueblos outside of Antigua, and they experience so much trauma that the kids there have faced, and they just pour themselves out, not only to serve those kids, but also to educate people from our home country about what the real world is like and what most of the world is like. And so they have a ministry where people come and experience Guatemala and experience serving, and a lot of people, their lives are changed by that. So there's that. And then there's the famous picture that Jonathan puts up pretty often of Roberto Chemo and his family and their church. Last summer we met them, and this is another group of people who just love God and we're one. We're the church together. And somehow God is displaying His wisdom and God is displaying His plan for the creation from before it was ever made through this, through church, through what God is doing, through these relationships. Somehow there's something going on there. So the story keeps on going, and lots of you guys know that we've had all these experiences and connections with our folks in Guatemala. And all of this stuff starts with relationships. I could go back and describe to you exactly the relationships that led to every single one of these connections. And a couple of years ago, I started talking with my former pediatrician every now and then. And you guys know Jeff Jones. He came and talked here a few weeks ago. And every time that I ran into Jeff, he was either getting ready to go on a trip to East Africa or he was just coming back from a trip to East Africa. And I'll be honest, that's something that I've, ever since, you know, many, many years ago, ever since we got serious about loving the least of these, it's been something that's very close to my heart. So anyway, Jeff came and shared with us about the ministry in Tanzania and Uganda. Tanzania's right here. Uganda's actually just right here. They're very close to each other in East Africa. And he told us about the folks there, folks who, you know, are what may be considered the least of these by some, but I think we've all learned by now that whoever is least is the greatest in the kingdom of God. And he's a part of a group called MedReach, and they travel to East Africa, and their goal is to spread the gospel to folks who have never heard it before, people who've never heard the message about Jesus. The goal of Here's Life Africa, who is a partner organization to MedReach, is to make sure that they get to know that the Creator of the universe loved them and gave Himself for them so that they can know Christ and they can experience what it's like to live as a part of His kingdom. So they go into these rural places and set up near a school, much like this one. This is one of the schools where they've set up a MedReach visit. And they build a tent city and have a medical clinic. And people, literally thousands of people, come from everywhere to these medical clinics where they have an opportunity to get medicine and to be treated for minor illnesses. But also they have an opportunity to be presented with the message of the gospel. And they show the Jesus film, and they do a sowing ministry to let people hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then to extend that, to try to connect the people that have come to Christ through this ministry, they also work with pastors. Here's a guy that's reading the Bible that he got there. Wait a minute, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm sorry. So the group seeks to meet these spiritual and physical needs. And another ministry of MedReach is to try to help folks have access to clean water. This is a water source next to the school called Manawa. And this is where the animals get their water and where the people get their water. And over the last 10 years as a church, we've really tried to serve the people who are in these desperate conditions by making sure that they have clean water. And it's absolutely essential to health and to life is to have this clean water. So these water sources where people get their water, they, you know, it's something that we really can't imagine, not having access to clean water. The first thing you did this morning when you woke up was to use some potable water. You drank some and then you flushed the toilet with it. But this is how these folks have access to water. So MedReach strives to leave each community that they minister to with a clean water source. And there's all kinds of different ways that they do that. This is a water system that uses the rainwater off of the roof of the school. It pumps it into this great big giant tank, and then it goes through this filter system. And it uses a solar-powered pump to do that. And so they're really innovative, and they're trying to come up with sustainable ways to leave these communities with clean water so that the kids who go to school will not only be leaving with an opportunity to learn, but they'll also be leaving with water for their family for that day, which, to me, that's brilliant. Another project that they're doing, in addition to the medical clinic and in addition to clean water initiatives at the schools, most of the medical clinics that exist in East Africa do not have electricity. They do not have lights. They're called dark clinics. And a very dear friend of MedReach, who's one of the Here's Life pastors, his wife was giving birth to their son in this medical clinic. And it was at night, and there were no lights, and his wife died giving birth to their son. And so this sparked an initiative to try to light these dark clinics with solar lights. And so another project that they work on from time to time, actually every time that they're in the African villages, is to light the dark clinics to provide solar lights. And it's just one or two lights in a clinic. So can you imagine going to a medical clinic and then being able to say, we're the one with the lights, right? Think about what we look for when we're searching for health care. What are the requirements? Like, I want a doctor that went to a good school. I want to make sure they've got the best machines. I want to make sure they have the latest technology. These people are saying, I want to go to the one that has the lights. I mean, this is something that we can't imagine. No one in here can identify with this. So this is another clinic that they provided lights. They put three lights in this one. And you can see the solar panel on the roof. That provides lights for this one. And in addition, I mentioned the pastor's conference. So let me come back around to what I was talking about before with bringing the gospel to these folks. See, the good news of the gospel is not just that God loves you and wants to save your soul. It's that God loves you. And once He saves your soul, you are part of a family of people who all love you too, in the same way that God loves you. And those people are concerned about your needs. And when you take your wife to a clinic that doesn't have light to have a baby and she doesn't die, that matters to the rest of this family of God. Right? So there's that element of the gospel, that we serve those who are poor. But we also want to incorporate these people into a community where they can learn and where they can grow and where they can study the Scriptures and they can get to know who their God is and do the same thing that we're doing right here. They do a pastor's conference to try to incorporate these people that have made a profession of faith in the clinics into a church community. And these pastors are they're so on fire for God. I met a gentleman from Zimbabwe a couple of weekends ago, and I told him that I was going to be traveling to Tanzania and leading a pastor's conference there. And he just lit up. He said, those guys are going to be so incredibly hungry. Because these are just called pastors, just like me, just like Jonathan. Neither one of us have ever been to seminary. We're just called pastors. But we have had a wealth of resources to help us get to know God. We've got libraries of books. We've got a community of people just like you guys. And we've been able to learn and to grow. And these guys don't have any of that. So part of the ministry is a conference to empower these guys to be able to do what they need to do to disciple these people who've come to know Jesus. And, you know, I've learned a lot about, well, a little bit, about what the conditions here. One of the most unfortunate things about many of these pastors is that they came to know Christ through denominational ministries, and not only have they embraced the gospel of Jesus, but they've also embraced a lot of baggage that goes along with divisions and denominationalism in church. But anyway, they get an opportunity to explore the scriptures together, to study together, and at the end they get a concordance in Swahili. So these guys are lucky to have a Bible. Most of them have a Bible, an old one, but that's all they have to go on. And then they get a concordance, and it's just like this whole new world opened up. And I know many of you use study tools all the time when you read the scriptures. You use Bible Gateway. You can search keywords. Man, it's awesome. One of the things I'm really struggling with is how I'm going to be able to do a pastor's conference if I can't use Bible Gateway. I mean, I'm going to have to just try to memorize a lot more scripture, I guess. But this is an amazing gift to be a part of this. So, back to our quote. This is what the church is up to. This is what Christianity is about. In just a few ways, these are a few glimpses of how God has brought this community along on the journey of trying to follow Jesus, trying to love God, love people, and serve the world. And there's so much more. This is a drop in a bucket. I'm just trying to explain a few things and kind of pull you along on the journey that God is bringing this community on. So this is what church is up to. And I don't know about you, but I want the world to know that that's what church is. I want my students to know that Christianity is a little bit more than the religion that believes women can't wear pants. Now, when I think back to our story, and how there's a couple of issues that I'm wrestling with personally here, and I want you to wrestle with them too. Go back to the story in the beginning. Because of those weights, we started this, and we started something different. But this is what Jesus said right before He was crucified. And I read this to you guys last week right before we took communion. Jesus was praying, and He said, "I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in Me through their message." So He prays specifically for the 12 that are with, or the 11 that are with Him in the garden. And then He's praying for those who believe in Me through their message, which is us. "I pray that they will all be one, just as You and I are one. As You are in Me, Father, and I am in You. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe that You sent Me." Be one so that the world will believe that You sent Me. "I have given them the glory You gave Me, so they may be one as We are one. I'm in them and You're in Me. May they experience such perfect unity." Here He says it again. "May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that You sent Me and that You love them as much as You love Me. Father, I want these whom You have given Me to be with Me where I am. Then they can see all the glory You gave Me because You loved Me even before the world began." I don't know if it's possible to refute this if we can't be one. If we can't find some commonality with these people who we may have a hard time with the fact that they would tell folks that you can't wear your slacks at church. All right, we might. We might have a difficult time with that. But I don't know if we can't find some unity, if we can't come together and we can't be the church, I'm not sure we're going to have much success with convincing the world that Christianity is about more than whatever little thing that we're about may happen to be. All right? Because it's not just... It's certainly not just about a meeting on a Sunday in a building. But it's also just not charity work. It's not just this or that. It's the Creator of the universe reconciling all of humanity back into Himself and becoming one, loving each other. Even legalistic, backwoods people that turn folks away from the gospel. It's about loving everyone. So my question is, how are we to be one? Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, one of our favorite passages to read here, the resurrection chapter, "I passed on to you what was most important." What was most important? "And what has also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the Scripture said. He was buried and He was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the Scripture said." What is most important? Loving God and loving your neighbors. And I believe that we can agree with a lot of folks Christ died for our sins, and He rose on the third day. And outside of that, I don't know. We need to find some common ground here and focus on letting this world know that Christ died for our sins and He rose on the third day, and not let our other stuff get in the way of that. And that's not going to happen unless we can have a little bit of humility. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make an allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Man, I've got a lot of faults. I can think back to being together in community with a lot of these folks that I felt like were weighing me down with weights, and I didn't handle those situations and those relationships with a lot of grace or with a lot of humility. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there's one body and one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and living through all. One hope for the future. Let me mention this too. Jesus also said, I want them to be with me where I am. That includes us and a lot of other people who we have disagreements with. We're going to be together. And I think we need to be able to get along with each other. So anyway, moving on. What are we up to here today? And I'm just about done. However, He's given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That's why the Scriptures say when He ascended to the heights, He led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to His people. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work. We've tried to be about that from the very beginning here. We want to empower you to love God and to love people and to serve the world. And if that's not what's happening, then you know, we're not being a church. To equip God's people to do His work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge. So if we are equipped, if we're doing His work, if we're built up and we're doing what we're supposed to do and we're being who we're supposed to be, then we should be coming together, not being pulled further apart. Unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Equipping God's people to do His work. So as we think about moving forward, over the next few weeks you're going to have some opportunities to be involved in preparing for this ministry to Tanzania. Over the next few weeks you're going to have a chance to, you're always given an opportunity to be involved in our ministry in Guatemala and all over the world and to be part of this. We're going to be gathering stuff together to take to Tanzania. We're going to be gathering stuff for these pastors. And so there's a lot of ways that we can be involved in this. Equipping God's people for the work of the ministry. And if we're doing our job right, we're going to be being pulled closer to each other and not being pulled further apart. And so as we move forward and we think about this, we need to ask ourselves the question, how do we be more unified as we reach out and serve this world? How do we come together to be the people that God made us to be? Because if not, the gospel message is going to be hollow. The world's not going to believe that Jesus was sent. The world's not going to believe that we're sent by Him. So, first I'd like to ask you to pray. Pray for our partners who are serving in Guatemala and in Uganda and Tanzania and all around the world. Pray that God's Spirit will bring unity to us and to them. And as we encounter people in our lives and our workplaces, we would be people of love, people of humility. I'm going to ask Sarah, if she doesn't mind, would you come and read this for us? We're going to close with this. And I guess the question that I leave with you today is, how do we be together? How do we be the answer to the prayer of Jesus? How do we be one to the level that we show the world who God is? Here's your microphone.
Okay. this is Philippians 2. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges, he took the humble position of a slave, and he was born of a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of the highest honor and gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.